The first reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the 13th verse. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let me give you a text. If I can find it. Where is it? Over here. That's right. It comes after that passage which was just read to us. "But seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you." But seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. As I said, it's not in the passage that Peter just read for us. It comes a bit further down the chapter. But it's a great verse, a wonderful verse, a motto, if you like, for yourself. Make that your motto in life. Seek first the kingdom of God. And the other hand, the passage and our parable this morning concerns two men who did not do this. And it's a rather confronting parable. It's hard. It's not a gentle, encouraging one. No. It's all about the dangers of seeking and storing riches, wealth. And Jesus is warning his listeners about that. But it seems to me that he goes on from that and it builds up to the last statement in that passage where he says, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores things up for himself but is not rich towards God." Rich towards God. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? And more importantly, how do we get there? How do we become rich towards God? Let's look at the passage and see if we can find out. Now, the Bible tells us that a huge crowd, many thousands, had gathered to hear Jesus. And out of that crowd comes a man. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. He wants to give Jesus, well, he does. He gives Jesus an order. You tell him to tell him. But Jesus is not going to become embroiled. No way. For he turns to the man and says, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Rather sharp, we might say. Indeed it is. Jesus is chipping this guy. He's putting him in his place. You see, this man wants to use Jesus for his own ends. He's not interested in Jesus as a teacher come from God, let alone the Saviour. No, he wants Jesus to help him get what he wants. And many people do the same today, I feel. They want to use God for their own ends. You know, God, if you'll help me, if you'll help me do this, I will do that for you. Or perhaps, God, I really need your help with this situation. Help me out of it and I'll be yours for the rest of my life. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. God helps them sometimes and they promptly forget what they've said. And when we consider what God has already done for us, saving us from the penalty of our sins by Jesus' death on the cross, asking God to do something extra, think about it very carefully. Be careful what you pray for. So perceiving this man, this blatant greed that this man has, Jesus turns to the crowd and says, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for man's life does not consist in abundance of possessions." Greed. What do you think about greed? Is there such a thing as good greed? I'd be greedy to know more about the Bible, about Jesus, about God. Not many people like me, though, are there? No. Greed, it's the cause of uncounted troubles and strife, both personal, communal, and national. Greed is wanting something that you haven't got, and you're probably not entitled to. It's what tears families apart when the question of money is at stake. It's a nation wanting what another nation has, people, land, natural resources, and that leads to war and destruction. At a personal level, greed is idolatry. Worshipping the created and not the creator. Because what you've got your mind set on, what you desire, is what you worship. That's your God. What you desire, what you worship, that's your God. And so Jesus tells this parable. This parable about greed and attitude to possessions. And what a pathetic tale it is, really, isn't it? What a pathetic man this farmer is. He can only think of himself. He uses the word I 6 times. He uses it, not Jesus. He uses it 6 times, and me 3 times. He never saw beyond himself. The world revolved around him. So there he is. He's got this wonderful crop, a bumper one, and he's worried about how he's going to store it, how he's going to keep it safe for himself. The poor and the needy, feed them. What did Jesus say about the commandments when he summarised them? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and love your neighbour as yourself. Yes. The neighbour did not exist for this man. In fact, he's the same as the rich man we looked at last week, the rich man and Lazarus. Now, neither of them have done anything wrong. They haven't been actively bad. No, both of them have just done nothing good. He's got this oversupply. Give some away? Give it to people who are in need of it? No way. Didn't even cross his mind. Let me ask you, does happiness come from giving away or keeping for yourself? Think about that sometime. Now, this man being a farmer, it should have been obvious to him that the crop came as a result of God's rain, God's sunshine, in God's soil. It should have been obvious to him, but was it? No. Complete disregard for God. No thanks. He just didn't care. He has self-centered greed. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. His attitude is the exact opposite to what God expects his people, us here in Penshurst, expects us to have. Whether you have an abundance or not, look around at others. We are here to share what we have. Jesus said, love your neighbour as yourself. But what the farmer says doesn't go unnoticed, does it? God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? You fool. And that's a terrible thing to be called. Remember Jesus in this Sermon on the Mount, he's saying to people about being angry with other people. And he says, anyone who says to his brother, Raka, is unanswerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Anyone who says, fool, will be in danger of the fire from hell. It's a terrible thing. It's a dangerous thing for us to call anyone a fool. For us to call anyone a fool. So when the Bible says that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God, you can see how serious it is. And that's just what this man has done. Foolishly, he has forgotten the giver who provided this great crop. Foolishly, he has forgotten that without God's benevolence, the rain and the sun, he would have lost the lot. Foolishly, he has forgotten to make provision for his ultimate future. I have plenty of goods laid up, enough for years to come. That's fine, all very nice. But foolishly, he forgot that this life, this world, is not all that there is. I hope you're not fools or doing foolish things. Keep in mind Jesus' words about this foolish man, thinking only of himself and what he has. Remember that text verse? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. The story is told about a young man talking about with an older man about the future. And the older man says to him, well, what's your aims in life? And the young man says, well, I'm going to learn a trade. Oh, that's good. What are you going to do then? I'll set myself up in business. Yes, that's better. And then? Well, I'll make a fortune, and then I'll retire. Yes, and then I will live on my money and enjoy life. Yes, and then suppose one day I will die. And then, yes, muddle thinking, on the part of this young man and our farmer, focusing on the wrong things, thinking only of self, not a thought or a word about thanks to God. And the farmer has the wrong plan: tear down my barns and build bigger ones. When James wrote his epistle, he warned about this attitude. Now listen, he says, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Yes. The man doesn't think of the future. He thinks he's got many years to come. But not for him. No. It's not to be so. This very night, God said, your life will be demanded of you. Jesus warned, what good does it for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Now let's be clear on something here. Jesus is not against money. I made this point last week, but I'll make it again today. Money is an essential part of life. It was then, and it still is today. As you read in the Gospels, you'll find Jesus has much to say about money and how it can be used. He warns that money has power. Power to do good, power to do evil. And it does not necessarily bring happiness, but how you use it can. Don't misunderstand me. As I said, money, wealth is not wrong. It's how you use it that counts. And it is right that we see to our future. Yes, lay a bit up, put some aside, make provision for later stages of life. But then Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he homes right in on it. He hits the nail right on the head, doesn't he? We brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. No. And then follow a bit further down those well-known but often misquoted words, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Not money itself, the love of money. And it's of all kinds, not all kinds of evil. And then he sums it all up, but godliness with contentment is great gain, far superior to money and wealth. Godliness and contentment. Be content, Paul says. Be happy. Be thankful for what you have. Don't be a fool, Jesus says. Don't have muddled thinking regards money, possessions, and your future. For he finishes up the story by saying, and now I've lost the place. He finishes up the story by saying, for the 21, here we are. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. Not rich towards God. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Now, a parable is told to teach one basic point. We can draw other ideas from it. And the one here that I want you to remember is about a fool. What the fool does and what he doesn't do. He makes it very clear who is a fool. The one who says there is no God. It's the one who's greedy. The one who presumes as to what they will do. And the one who is poor towards God is very foolish. And it's this last one I want to leave with you. Rich towards God. How do we do that? let me give you 5 points. Obviously, don't put your trust in money. It's only good for this life. Enjoy life. Enjoy life. It's God's gift to you. Enjoy what you have. But don't be selfish. Don't forget God's benevolence, His provision for your future, your ultimate future, your future with Him in heaven. Be generous. Help where you can, with what you can, to what extent you can. You're not to go out and sell everything you have and give it all away, no. Help where you can, with what you can, to the extent you can. And be rich in good works. Works of kindness, love, peace and gentleness. As Paul, finishing up that letter to Timothy after having spoken about money, says, in this way you will lay up treasures for yourself as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that you may be able to take hold of life that is truly life. Amen.